All right, good evening, everyone. We're going to be starting the December 15th board meeting. If everybody could stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. Sorry for our slight delay, but we were in closed session talking about some property development type issues. So I'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood is excused presently. Trustee Raffer.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All right, sir. I'll make a motion to modify the agenda as presented. We'll take item number 7, the request for the liquor license, and move that to 4A. Then I would propose that we flip-flop items 5 and 6. So the order of appearance will be right at the public appearance. It'll be the action for the liquor license, old item 7, to be followed by snow removal on the Fox River Trail, to be followed by the options concerning Riverside Drive. Any further, or is there a second to that motion?
Yes.
Trustee Raffer, any further, any discussion? Any other proposed revisions to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of the modified agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The modified agenda is adopted. Announcements? Want to take those up?
Chris is the Sarugis.
Chris, you want to take the Sarugis?
Just wanted to let the board know that the Dutray Run, Sarugi's Valentine's Run for 2016 will be held on Saturday, February 6th. Same route as always, and never seem to have had any issues with that run.
All right. Well, thank you for that. You want to take the campaign?
Okay. If there is anyone interested in running for village president, President Gast will not be running again in April. The campaign registration statement, declaration of candidacy, and nomination papers are due no later than 5 p.m. on January 5th.
Okay. And this will acknowledge that Brent Kerr has resigned from the Historic Preservation Committee, and our thanks to him for his service. Any other announcements from staff? Trevor.
I'd just like to announce that we do have as part of our bicycle and pedestrian plan, we are doing an online survey that came online yesterday and will be online until January 14th. If anyone is interested in filling one out tonight, I do have printed copies in the back with some pens. I apologize, I only printed out 10, but it is online, it is on the website, and if you like, you can come at a later date and we'll put one off and we can do one here at the Boach Hall.
All right, and there's staff announcements. Mr. Barron.
As I'm sure you're already aware, we did experience high flows in the sanitary sewer system. It required us to take some emergency action. We did have to bypass some wastewater out of the system. We believe there is about 12 homes that experienced basement flooding due to failures of their sump pumps, and about 24 homes that experienced wastewater back up into their home. It's an approximate number. We know that some people didn't call in. Some people experienced a different situation, a backup in their lateral, not related to the storm event, but that's the approximate numbers. We will be filing a report with the DNR. We believe it's a Category 2 bypass, which is not an enforceable action, but we'll be going through the process of submitting that information, working with the DNR to resolve that and go forward from here. So unfortunately, this is probably the largest storm we've had in the last 15 years. Due to the saturated soil for 2 days, and then, of course, the high flows that we had Sunday night into Monday morning, and that's what resulted in that situation.
And we're going to stay on top of it and tell the DNR that sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. We've already had that discussion.
All right. Any other staff announcements? Any other board announcements? Or any board announcements? All right. Hearing none, we will move to the public appearance section of the agenda. The board will listen to any person who has anything to say to the board. The board can only take action, though, on items listed as action items on the agenda. If you're here to either talk about the snow removal on Fox River Trail or the options for Riverside, I'd ask you to hold your comments until we get to those items so we can have a discussion, you know, and not have it bifurcated by two or three other agenda items. So we'll take those issues up and receive public comment when we get to those items on the agenda. So anybody that wants to address the board on anything other than the Riverside Drive design or Fox River Trail, please feel free to do so. Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm here to talk about two issues that are of local, state, and national interest. Currently, before the assembly, is a move to remove local control from historic commissions. And that's a an assembly bill that has been promoted and being discussed in this week. That is a bad bill because local control is very important. And what I'm going to say next is why local control is very important. The Village of Alloway is a certified local government. If we decide that we have certain historic structures that are in need of preservation and the state needs to keep their hands off and give our local municipality a say in what roads are built and what structures are demolished, that bill should be opposed. And the certified local government status gives us permission to designate the gate at the Murphy Coles Estate as a historic structure. It's not a house, it's a historic structure. And by locally designating that as a historic structure, we bypass the state and we have federal protection for those homeowners in that corridor. So the state DOT has to go to extraordinary efforts to find an alternative solution to taking the property adjacent to those to that historic structure. So what I'm going to ask is that the Historic Preservation Commission designate the Murphy Coles Estate a historic structure and protect the homeowners along the corridor that was known 200 years ago as Shantytown. And that would be from Highway 172 to the St. Francis Park. And Shantytown became Camp Smith, and then it became the town of Green Bay, eventually became the town of Bellevue, and is currently the Village of Alloway. So that is the start of the Americanization of Wisconsin. That structure is the very, very center of the start of the Americanization of Wisconsin, and there's no better homes in Wisconsin that represent the integrity of our historic structures than the Murphy Coles Estate and that structure in the front. The state has already notified me that they do not like that structure, that they want to see it come down, and that they will not protect it. So the only alternative we have is to designate it a local landmark and give the property owners adjacent to it the rights that they deserve under federal law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Anyone else wish to address the board during the public appearance section of the agenda on anything other than Riverside Drive or the snow removal on the Fox River Trail? Any other comments or anybody wish to address the board? All right, hearing none, then I will close the public appearance section of the board. The next item on the agenda or the modified agenda is former item number 7, action regarding request for Class B fermented malt beverage and liquor license for Wisconsin Pub and Palette. I understand that the applicants are here. Yeah, maybe if you could come and talk to us a little bit about what you're planning to do. I read what I read, and it sounded very good.
Oh, good. I hope so. Thank you for taking the time tonight. My name is Carrie. On the west side, I operate Palette and Pub. Wisconsin Pub and Palette is just our legal name. And I'm hoping to move one over here to Alloway in the strip mall by Zesty's. I'm not sure if you saw the floor plan that's been a little bit revised. We're doing some more kitchen space, so we're able to make the bar a little bit bigger as well, so that we can serve some more customers and have multiple things going on at one time. Also, there's just, I think in your meeting minutes, a brief rundown of what we hope to be doing there. So we are primarily an art studio, but we do have a bar, serve beer and wine, hopefully full liquor license to serve other things as well. It's just basically a good time to get out and do some things with your friends, create some crafts, some art, but also have maybe a beverage or two while you're doing it. So it's just a really popular form of entertainment right now, and I'd just like to see it come over to the Alloway area.
We would like to see you come over to Alloway, too. Any questions by the board of Kerry? Trustee Harris.
When do you anticipate opening?
Depending on what you tell me tonight. Potentially in the next 2 to 3 months. We do need to get some state approval for some of the renovations. So after that, which could take 3 to 5 weeks, I guess about 3 months is my best guess.
Okay, thank you.
Any other board questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will make a motion that the board approve the request for the Class B fermented malt beverage and liquor license as presented.
Contingent upon remainder of paperwork to be turned in.
Always paperwork.
Always
contingent upon the provision of all required paperwork for issuance of the license. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Dennis. Any discussion by the board? Trustee Rafferty.
I just have one question. The number of liquor licenses that we have available right now, it looks like we have 10. For that class? We have 9 reserve.
We have 14 regular licenses, which 13 are already taken, so this would be the 14th. Then we have 9 reserved.
Okay. And the 9 reserved just means we have 9 more.
$10,000 ones, yes.
This is the last cheap one, is what
yes.
You're saying. Well, not that they're cheap, but but the other ones are just a lot more expensive.
But that changes. Someone else isn't using one.
Well, actually, I read that it may just apply to the stadium district, but I guess our representative, Stefan, who's proposing legislation to increase the number of available liquor licenses. But I don't know
if that
is that just for the stadium district?
Or for yeah. $20 million development projects.
That they could buy from other municipalities.
Yeah, or maybe we can talk to Representative Stefan and see if we can. There always seems to be some unfairness in that process. I think it's an antiquated process, to be honest with you. And I got it years ago to keep mom-and-pop bars and taverns open and not run out of business, but we're in a different climate, but that's a debate for the legislature and not us.
So we feel we have enough liquor licenses for any future development now?
We have 9 reserved.
Okay, cool.
All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The application is unanimously granted. So congratulations. We look forward to you opening as soon as you can. This might be one of the few votes that I ever cast and my wife will be really happy with. All right, so now that we've proceeded to that, the next item on the modified agenda is the old item number 6, action regarding snow removal of Alloway portion of the Fox River Trail. Although these two items might be related. Does anybody wish to address the board on the snow removal on the Fox River Trail issue? The next agenda item is the Riverside Drive redesign. But I promised you all I'd hear you on the snow removal, so. But you'd have to come up to the podium and state your name and address, and because everything's recorded for the public's benefit.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. This may be out of alignment with what you're talking about, but I cannot hear what is being discussed. And I think when we get to these two issues, it would really be helpful if you would use your microphones, all of you, and speak just a little louder so that we can all hear. You've got a good crowd tonight.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And I didn't speak in my microphone. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
No, let's be mindful to actually speak into the microphones as we have these discussions. Sir.
Hi, Roger Rutzloff, 209 West Whitney Street. Also a member of the Planning Commission. I'd like to recommend that we do consider seriously removing snow from the Fox River Trail. I think most of the conditions when there is snow on the trail, especially in the early part of the season and the late part of the season when the snow is melting, creates a seriously hazardous condition for people using the trail. I think it just would be beneficial to the community to have that portion, especially the urbanized portion in Alloway, cleared so that users of the trail are able to avoid injury, and the village and or the county can avoid legal action that they might take against them.
So. All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Sir, front
yes.
row.
Hi, Tom Delsart, 2502 Riverside Drive. I live right in front of the main gate of the Murphy Estate on Fox River. And I'd like to address, if anybody can't hear us, there's some seats in the front row that probably would help out. As far as the snow removal on the Fox River Trail, I'm out there a lot, in the right, probably at the 50-yard line, I would say, of the debate or what we're talking about. In the winter, we have snowshoers, people with bicycles that have the large tires, and we have walkers. It's a great four-season trail to try and make it a one-season trail where you're going to keep it clean and ice-free is virtually an impossible task. There's the trail has spots, a lot of spots in it from settling where water would sit on it and turn to ice, and there would be a great liability for the village to try and maintain that and change that from a seasonal trail, which if you walked on the trail, you'd see so many people enjoying the winter of the trail, and it would all be gone for one or two people, if that, maybe three, that would want to bike the trail. It's just a wonderful setup the way it is now. I have no reason to believe that you would want to spend the money, take on the liability of trying to keep those little ponds of ice if you're a biker, and then you hit those ice patches, or create a crown in the trail so that it just seems like, sure, you could do it, but it would just be a huge effort by everybody to make it safe for everyone to use in the winter. And we love using it in the winter as it is. It's just great. That's it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else on the issue of the snow removal on the Fox River Trail? Sir.
Cliff Wall, 2576 Riverside Drive. I'm just a little ways down from Mr. Delsart. This is real interlinked to the Riverside Drive project, I think. My feeling, my wife and I enjoy cross-country skiing. However, if it means, and I can go into a lot of history of my support of the Fox River Trail, and I feel like I've been called the godfather of the trail, just so you know. But anyway, if we can use the Fox River Trail and avoid doing something Riverside Drive by plowing it, let's plow the trail. Mr. Delsart brought up a lot of really good points. It's going to require a lot of plowing because being on the river, there's a lot of wind action and drifting. So you'll be out there a lot, keep maintaining the trail, which I think is fine. I don't know the liability aspect from injuries, from slipping. You would know better than I would what that liability is. Most likely it's kind of use it at your own risk, I think, and be aware of that. And you know, if they, you have to answer that from a trustee point of view and your legal counsel. But plow it if we don't have to do anything with Riverside Drive and maintain Riverside Drive as it is. Thanks.
Right, thank
I'm sure I'll address you next question.
To get to the second part of your observation. Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. If you don't want the sidewalk on Riverside Drive, you're required to have a pedestrian accommodation, and I've been working with the DOT to make sure that we have one on the west side of Riverside Drive that includes the Fox River Trail. So by plowing the trail, you can prove to the Federal Department of Transportation that you are making pedestrian accommodations, and that you do, and that you're also within the area of impact for the highway project. So it's 150 feet or whatever it is from the road, and we can prove to the federal government that we are making pedestrian accommodations above and beyond the minimum. So I support clearing the trail so we don't have to put this sidewalk on Riverside Drive in front of the Murphy Coles Estate.
All right, thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to be heard, ma'am?
Good evening. Jen Van Zelden, 3742 Eastwood Avenue. On the issue of snow removal from the Fox River Trail, I think there were some excellent points made, and I'd like to speak to each of them just briefly. Regarding liability, I believe according to state precedent, there's recreational immunity, so I don't believe there'd be a liability issue here. And I know this is in a different state, but we did reach out to Minneapolis just to kind of learn from them, because they deal with a similar climate, to see how they kind of handle that snow removal piece. On the 300 miles of trails that they have, they do snow removal, and they are able to address that liability piece by having the right language on their city website to kind of indicate, kind of at your own risk. So I think that would be a very low-cost to no-cost issue to that liability piece. As far as use of the trail, I understand that there's different perspectives there, and that some people would like to run, some would like to bike, some would like to snowshoe, some would like to ski, and I don't know that any one person's hobby is more important than another, so I would recommend that we look into some way of kind of assessing what the desire for use is, so we can fairly determine from a use perspective really what the desire is of residents in LA. And then as far as the Riverside Drive piece goes, in terms of whether or not snow removal from the trail would really kind of allow us to not have to put pedestrian accommodations around Riverside Drive, would it be best if I save my comments for the Riverside Drive discussion or to kind of discuss that piece now? Happy to save them, so King.
Let's save it for okay. When we get to that issue, even though there is some linkage. No, we'll save it for,
okay.
for
Thank
that
you
portion.
Very much.
Thank you. Anyone else on the snow removal portion? Sir.
Hello. My name is Joshua Schwalbe. I live in your neighboring Green Bay downtown district, near downtown. And I'll make it real short. My girlfriend and I like to ride bikes. We also both have cars, but every once in a while, we like to go for a little bike ride. We've used the Fox River Trail in the past while the snow was on it, but I would support using the trail for supporting the local businesses and other municipalities. So it was plowed as the snow was removed a little bit more, because it is rather difficult to navigate through the trail when there's a little bit of snow on. We cleared the sidewalks because it's safe. I think I would support clearing the trail as well. So just saying that the neighboring municipalities would use it more if it was cleared as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else on the snow removal issue, ma'am?
Raina Bernhardt, 200 West Briar Lane. I use the trail probably
five, six days a week. I walk that trail. Briar Lane is, oops, I'm cutting in and out here. Briar Lane is sort of landlocked between Riverside and Webster, and both have sidewalks. Neither are great sidewalks. Webster is there, but really dangerous in the sense that you're right up against traffic. And there's been more than once, I'm cutting out again, it's been more than one time that I've had to kind of dodge to the side to not be, I don't say hit by a car, but they go really fast on both Riverside and Webster. Riverside is better because it does have a little bit of berm above some grass there before you get to the road. But both of those, because the traffic goes so fast, are very dangerous. And so I think having that trail cleared would provide safer walking for our area. That's kind of, I said, street locked by both of those roads. Also, I think some gentleman said that it is used for a variety of ways, you know, for cross-country skiing, or, and our family does that as well, or snowshoeing. There's usually enough snow on the slide of the trails that it probably could accommodate both, that it wouldn't be totally snow-free. So because of safety issues and the dangerous sidewalks that are already in Alloway, I think it would provide safety for pedestrians. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah. Sir.
Steve Sevenick, 2394 Riverside Drive. I'm north of Tom Dale, sir, and do actually live on the trail. Predominantly, the traffic in the wintertime is cross-country skiers and snowshoers. That's without a doubt. So it would be inconsistent with the head of the trail in Green Bay out to the end of the trail to clear it unless the rest of the trail is going to be cleared also. So if the state's going to mandate a sidewalk on Riverside Drive, it seems to be redundant. You're actually taking away some of the seasonal recreation. They can ride bikes on it three seasons out of the year. So give it to the snowshoers and the cross-country skiers.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Ma'am.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I am in favor, very much so, of having that trail plowed. People my age enjoy walking on that trail also, but I don't go down there in the winter to walk because I'm afraid of ice underneath snow, etc. And I think that it is a lot safer to have us walking on the trail. Since you are going to put in crosswalk areas when you redo the highway, we'll be able to get there easier than we can at present. And I agree that it would be much safer than having a sidewalk on Riverside Drive. I think I'm the only one who's on the east side of Riverside Drive who has spoken about this evening. But I don't relish the idea of a sidewalk on the east side of Riverside Drive either, because I just feel that it's going to be hazardous and that it's not going to get enough use to pay for its having been put in, especially since you have to go back to where Alloway starts, take out the new sidewalks that aren't 4 or 5 feet wide and replace all of that too. So, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else on the sidewalk issue? Or not the sidewalk issue, the trail issue. Sir.
Rich Light, 2365 Riverside Drive. I wasn't even going to speak. I didn't know what this was about. And everybody has actually made great points, but I thought one of the best points was from the lady that had spoke a little previously, is fact, how are we really using the trail? So I guess my recommendation would be is, are we using it for cross-country skiing? Are we using it for walking in the wintertime? And have we done any type of that urban study to really determine? Because if we're going to support clearing it and nobody's biking on it, then we just eliminated a whole group of people that may be using it for winter. So I honestly support all of it, but I guess I would like to understand, what is the population in our area really using it for? And I think that would help us decide, does it pay to clear it? Does it, you know what, if 90% of the people are using it for cross-country skiing. Let's put money in the grooming trails for it so that cross-country skiing is better. If people are using it for snowshoeing, let's provide, you know, that type of stuff. If people are truly using it for walking and biking, let's use it for that. So I'm not saying how we're using it. I think we first need to really figure out how are we using it and then determine that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The gentleman in the green shirt.
Oh, it's green.
Don Halrun, 2536 Riverside Drive. I'm retired. I'm an old guy, like I reported to you guys a couple weeks ago. I really don't have enough to do in my life, so I procrastinate and I look. And you know what? Mother Nature answered your questions. With all this rain, there is no snow on the trail. And you would be surprised how many people are out there walking on it and riding on it. It's being used right today in this heat wave. So I would think, give it a try. If it don't work, you cut it out. But we'll try it. Enough said.
All right. Thank you, sir. Gentleman in the front.
Ron Lawlesser, 541 West Pryor. I'm a biker in summertime and a walker in wintertime. And I'm for plowing the trail. I'm off of Briar and the sidewalk all winter long, as soon as there's much snow, is unwalkable because it gets plowed, the sidewalk gets plowed, then the street gets cleaned off, and it's all pushed over on the sidewalk. So our sidewalk is lousy in wintertime. And if we have a path plowed in wintertime, there would be a lot more walkers, I think, in our whole area.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I'm a repeat speaker here. The trail is 12 feet wide, and I'm changing my tone a little bit. If it's 12 feet wide, and we have some people that want to walk on it, and they can walk on, what is a standard sidewalk, 4 feet? So if we go down the trail and with a 4 foot wide snowblower, do the whole length of the 4 foot wide snowblower, then you have the walkers. You can accommodate the state DOT to use that as a alternative to sidewalks, and then the winter people have all their resources that they can enjoy the trail with. A snowplow won't do it because that just makes a big crusty hump. But, you know, with a snowblower, it kind of levels it out, and that's an option. Just an idea. Then both people can be happy. The trail's pretty wide.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon, for the splitting the baby contract.
Okay.
Mr. Delstar, is that right?
Can we get his name and address?
Sir, you're Mr. Delstar, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yep.
Solomon
Delstar. Yep, he already spoke. Chris, how wide is the trail? Is it 12 feet?
That is correct. The baby portion is 12 feet wide.
Thank you. Anyone else on the map?
My name is Mary Lou Jacobs, and I don't live anywhere near the trail. I live in Parc de Langlade, and I'm close to Green Isle Park. Now, these people that talk about using the trail for skiers, I just wanted to say Green Isle Park, which is in Elloway, have lovely trails for the skiers, but not good trails for walkers. And that's just a thought.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. Heather Gentry Nimmer, 249 Kenny Street here in Alloway. I'm in favor of plowing for the single reason that Brown County has several trails for cross-country skiers and fat bike users, which is the winter bicycles. We don't have an immediate year-round trail for pedestrians, walkers, joggers. I feel that we are excluding a large portion of the population in Alloway if we don't plow. Mothers like myself with young children, you know, they're not on these bikes and they're not snowshoeing yet. Some of our senior residents, they would like to walk. They're probably not going to be on fat bikes. Maybe they will. I don't know. As far as cost, I agree with some of the other residents. Maybe we should just try it for a year. On seasons like this where there really isn't much snow, clearly people are getting out and using the trail, so I see no harm in trying it for a season. I do believe that Green Bay and DePere are also interested in plowing their portions, so you will have a connection, longer trail. It's not just a few miles. It'll be up and down all around. Thank you.
Anyone else on this particular issue? Snow removal from the Fox River Trail. All right, hearing none, I'll resume the rules. Since there does seem to be some linkage between these two issues, Riverside Drive design, with hearing no objection, what we can do is defer action on the snow removal issue until we hear public comment on the Riverside Drive design issue, and then take action on both of them. But I would think some members of the board might think that how they might vote on one might be impacted by what they hear on the other. Mm-hmm. So hearing no objection, or actually I would need a motion. I'll make a motion that we defer action on former item number 6, the snow removal, until we hear from the public on former agenda item number 5 concerning the Riverside Drive design issue. Hear a second to that motion? Trustee Green. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Then what we will do is, since we've basically tabled that issue for a few moments, we'll now take up the two options for Riverside Drive design. And hearing no objection from the board, I'll open it to the public. In terms of anyone who would like to address the board on the Riverside Drive design concepts, I'll preface the public hearing portion by just observing that this is a state highway, and it's an interactive process to a certain extent with the Department of Transportation. But ultimately, it's a state highway, and the state does what the state wants to do. They've been fairly receptive to a lot of our comments and suggestions and have already incorporated some resident commentary and input into some of the design concepts that have already been put on the table. But what, Craig, what's the current time frame? Is it 2021, 2022?
Yes. The construction of the highway itself is 21 and 22.
Okay. So at least as it stands right now, this issue is not high on the DOT priority list since they've bumped us out several years due to the project not being funded as part of the current biannual budget. So what we're looking for is input so that we can ultimately make suggestions to the Department of Transportation in terms of what we as a village would like to see in the overall design concept. But my guess is with the postponement of the project to 2021-2022 that they aren't going to be putting pencil to paper on any modifications of the designs for some period of time anyway. Craig.
The DOT is going to submit... The DOT does intend to submit what they call the environmental report or the environmental document by the end of January, early February. That is the design recommendation that goes to the Federal Highway Administration. So for purposes of your timing, it would be good to input, you know, by the end of December or at the latest early January. That's the timing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barrett. All right. Then what we're going to do is, with those comments, we'll suspend the rules and we'll hear from the public concerning input as to design alternatives or suggested design alternatives with respect to the Riverside Drive reconstruction project. Who would like to be heard? I suspect there's more than one. Sir.
Roger Rutzlund, 209 West Whitney Street, also a member of the Planning Commission. My residence is halfway between Riverside Drive and Webster Avenue, so I'm very familiar with the road, use it quite often, both for driving in a motor vehicle and for bicycling. I have attempted to walk on Riverside Drive, but find in our area between Lazar and Alloway Avenue that it's nearly impossible to walk along that road. The streets in that neighborhood for pedestrians basically dead end into Riverside Drive. So you go, and there's lots of recreational walking in my neighborhood. People who walk down the streets towards Riverside, they just have to come back. It would be great to have sidewalks there so people could just circulate more effectively in the neighborhood. That's a recreational issue, but the other issue is that there, you know, there may be people who simply need to walk along the road to get where they're going. I know there are apartment buildings south of 172 that are on the west side of Riverside. I don't know how much sidewalk is there, but I suspect it definitely needs improvement so that people who live in those apartments can walk to bus stops. Perhaps they need to walk up to Webster to catch a bus or something like that. I'd like to see bicycle accommodations. I would ride on the road whether it has them or not, but that's based on my skill and my experience as a cyclist. As a transportation corridor, we should be looking to the future. Now, the Department of Transportation has already looked to the future with respect to motor vehicle volume. They projected increases in traffic volume out 20 years for this roadway. But what they haven't done is looked at the increase of pedestrian and bicycle travel that could and probably will occur out those same 20 years. The facility properly should be designed to allow for and probably encourage the growth of bicycle and pedestrian use. The current design is really a highly prejudicial, discriminatory type of design. You can only use it if you have access to a motor vehicle. So for it to be a proper state facility and provide for access for everyone in the community, it really needs to accommodate all potential users, including those who are using it in a non-motorized manner. One particular aspect of the current two designs that are being proposed that I'd like to see implemented is that bike lanes actually be designed and included from Taft Street to Lazar through the 172 interchange area. Whether we have bike accommodations or not, I think that's an area where the bicyclists that actually operate on the roadway on a regular basis, and if a bicycle pedestrian study was done for the roadway, they would determine that there is a volume that occurs. Albeit it's a low volume at this point. But that would allow for safe travel of cyclists through the 172 interchange area. I don't want to go into the details of what that would look like, but there should be bike lanes there, and there's plenty of state land to increase the width of the roadway to accommodate that.
I also think the number of crosswalks that are provided, pedestrian crossings, are probably the minimum that they can get away with right now. It would be better to have more crosswalks than shown. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else from the public concerning the Riverside Drive, sir?
John Trester. I live at 2030 Jordan. In 1985, we went through the design process previously for Riverside Drive. And at the time, the state decided they were going to go with a rural route highway design, and they were going to provide an alternate parallel route for bicycles and pedestrians in the form of the Fox River Trail. However, it was taken over by the DNR instead of the Highway Department. I'm in favor of designing the highway with no pedestrians or bicycle accommodations on it if you provide an alternate parallel route. And that would require redesigning the Fox River Trail to have lighting, clearing properly, open 24 hours, and have it an adequate width of 16-18 feet, strike for separation, maintained by the Brown County Highway Department, and remove the mandatory fees. As far as the historic structure on Riverside Drive, I don't really see why it can't be just picked up out of the ground and restored properly so that it's really nice, and then move it east 20 feet and be out of the way. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Ma'am. Ms. Pohl, correct?
Yes. I'm sure you're sick of seeing me by this time.
Not at all.
If they were to move the structure for the Murphy Coles estate 20 feet, then that means that they would remove my shrubbery and my neighbor's shrubbery, and we would have a sidewalk right in front of our front doors. So I'm not for that proposal at all. If it's historically been there for years and years and years, which my house has been and which the estate down the street has been, I don't see why we have to destroy that fence or even replace it with a new fence 20 feet in. Just leave it alone. It's not hurting anybody. I like the idea of having a wider trail. I seem to recall that it was stated here at one of the meetings that that trail property is 60 feet in width. And if that former railroad thing is 60 feet in width, I don't know how expensive it would be to widen that trail so that it could be used by bicycles, joggers, walkers, runners, etc., and not be congested at all. I don't think that it would be any more expensive to do that and maintain it than it would be to put in all of these 5-foot wide sidewalks. So yes, please, let's do something with the trail. Let's have more than 3 access crossings. I think that that would be a very good thing, too. However, I seem to recall at another meeting where it was asked whether the speed limit on Riverside Drive was going to be reduced. And the state replied that they had no intention of changing the speed limit going through the village of Alloway. Well, if they're going 25 in De Pere and they're going 25 supposedly in Green Bay, which obviously they're not, I don't know why we couldn't be 25 as well. And it's going to take an awful lot of tickets or an awful lot of little red and blue lights going to make us do that, but I think that that would be something that we could take a look at too. But can we reduce the speed limit on Riverside Drive, or is that cast in And I know that's different from what I've been talking about with the trail. But I'm getting tired of getting up and sitting down again.
Thank you, ma'am. And I was negligent, let the record reflect, that Trustee Atwood arrived at 7 p.m. 6:55. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. All right, anybody else that wants to address the board? The lady in green.
I have some notes. I'm Tita Buff. I live at 221 Rayburn Court, and I am on the east side of Riverside. Our property is right next to Riverside Drive. So we're very aware of what happens with it being a state highway. It's busy. It's not just the cars. There are huge semis that are going all the time. And to even think about putting a sidewalk or a bicycle lane, to me, is ludicrous. I would suggest, I liked the comments from Mr. O'Rourke as to being on the National Register. Not only would the whole fence area have to come down, but we have two huge cottonwoods. And we had one branch fall in our yard about 4 years ago. And it was well over a ton that it weighed. So even in, my husband had the university come out and look at the tree to make sure it was safe, which it was, as both were. But even to try and take that tree out could not be done without bringing in huge cranes. And it would cost thousands of dollars. Just the one branch was like five. So that would certainly be a contention because the trees are definitely in the way of widening that area. I did notice when we were at Leopold that there was a section in the handout talking about exceptions to sidewalks and cycles. And there are exceptions allowed now. My consideration is that we exempt all bicycle and pedestrian from 172 going south to Alloway Avenue. And I know Alloway is interested in developing that area as a corridor. You can't, I mean, this is definitely a residential area. So as far as having any kind of stores or restaurants that people would get to, it would require taking down a lot of homes. And I think this area that is with the fence is unique. It has become kind of landmark, you can say, two blocks west or east, no, neither of that, north or south from the fence. But I just think some serious consideration should be to that, if it doesn't fall under the register.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Trustee Green?
I just have a question for you. The DOT specifically told me that you all wanted those trees gone and the fence moved. So I think somehow we need to correct the record with that.
Absolutely not.
I think, Brad, you were in that meeting with me when they said that. I mean,
I was here. They said it right here.
Exactly.
Yep.
I just, and they have said it in smaller committee meetings. So
now
I think
we
need to correct with the DOT.
Both men came to our house.
Yes.
And sat down. And we definitely feel that the fence needs to be there. Their contention was they would replace it because it's made of iron. It's impossible to do anything with it as it is. But we do have a neighbor that has, I think, the oldest oak tree in Wisconsin, and she wants that preserved. Mm-hmm. She said she'd rather have that preserved in the fence. But here again, and she has an outlet onto the Riverside, we, where we live, have no way of getting to Riverside.
Yeah,
as it's all fence. Mm-hmm. And it offers a, well, it's a false sense of security, but it's
when you go in there, you feel safe. I mean, like when we had young children and now grandchildren, but as I say, it just doesn't seem possible to me that you'd think of a sidewalk or a bicycle lane. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I thank you for clearing that up, and I would love for us to reach out to the DOT because what they told us regarding that, and it's making me question a lot of things right now. So
I know what you're saying, and I know Mrs. Roloff, who's right down from us, was adamant about keeping the fence.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, clarifies it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Trustee Harris.
My recollection of the presentation that we've been given is that no matter what is done with the construction of the road, they've explained to us that the two trees would need to be removed. That's how they've explained it to us. And the other thing I recollect is that there are 5 property owners that could be affected by the removal of the fence. They've discussed with 4 of the 5 property owners. They didn't identify who they spoke to, who they didn't, and 4 out of the 4 that they spoke to were acknowledged that it would be okay to have the fence removed and then while the construction was going on and then replaced. That's how I remember the discussion, is that no matter what happens, those 2 large trees are starting to impinge on the road itself, and they would have to be removed no matter what option is taken. But then the fence was 4 out of 5 residents had met with them and acknowledged removal and replacement. I don't know if you ever heard about the 5th. That's how I remember it.
This was a smaller meeting that I know Brad and I were in. It was one of the focus group meetings. There was only about 8 of us here, but they had come out and said, no, the homeowners want those trees gone. So I think some of that, there's some misunderstanding somewhere there that concerns me greatly.
Trustee Rafferty, did you have a comment?
Your question, though, was regarding the trees, correct?
Yeah, because I had specifically asked, especially regarding the huge trees that were along there, because I've had several calls from residents saying, you know, whatever we do, I mean, I know the trees are not the debate tonight, but the way the DOT presented it to us in that small meeting was that, oh, no, they want the trees gone because it's going to cost them thousands to remove them, and they want us to remove them, and that's not what I'm getting from this. So it makes me question some of the other opinions that are out there because it just seems to be very different than what was presented by the gentleman from the DOT. Okay. So there was a lot of tree discussion that night in the smaller meeting.
I seem to recall something about that, too, and it was Cottonwoods that they were talking about
removing. Yep.
All right, any other board comment or questions? Otherwise, I'll go back to the public input. Trustee Atwood?
No.
Oh, sir. All right, who else from the public? Oh, we got it. I'll take the guy in green here since he...
Age before beauty.
You both need to sit down.
Getting back to the highway expansion, any additional width to the highway, whether it be bike trails or non-bike trails, is going to make that road wider. Being wider, it's going to be more snow. Our big problem, I live there, and my big problem right now is what the heck to do with the snow. If I didn't have a gracious neighbor with a tractor with a lift, that every morning we lift that snow up and pile it up high, I'd have no place to put my snow. And every time you make that road wider, you're compounding the problem with snow removal. And another side remark, if I'm going to take all that snow out of my backyard, which I'm in favor of, I'm going to become a snowman. I'm going to have snow on both sides of me.
Mr. Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Gass. I guess rightly so, it should be Cliff Wall, 2576 Riverside Drive. I think the section that we are really considering tonight is kind of Alloway Avenue to Lazar. There is also a section, I think, just around Taft Street that someone brought up is an issue. But we're talking about the residential section with houses facing the street. And that section, I think that Riverside Drive should remain the same. Obviously, it needs resurfacing. There's a couple of sections that in the spring really get like a roller coaster, which is good for my business, by the way. So I'm not real crazy about fixing that. But, you know, leave the street, maybe dirt. But anyway, I think that the trustees should leave Riverside Drive, at least that section, from Alloway Avenue to Lazar, the way it is, and just resurface it. Now, if it would help, I have a petition put together that I will have all these people right here, I'm sure, would sign it to agree with me. Some of you may have already seen it, opposing any expansion of Riverside Drive. If that would help in any state, I guess public opinion certainly does affect the legislative body. I will get I'm sure I get 100% participation on both sides of the road, east and west of Riverside Drive, from all the residents from Alloway Avenue to Lazar, to say do not change that section of Riverside Drive. And again, we talked about, let's go back to the plowing of the trail. That gives us the access that we need. Certainly a safer, much, much safer corridor for transportation of bikers, walkers, everything else. I mean, that's safe. I sit in my bathroom every morning watching people go by Sundays and Saturdays. It's great to see families out there on the trail. I can tell you they're not going to use that Riverside Drive 5 or 6 foot sidewalk. Let's be safe. Let's get the trail open, I guess, for whatever reason, about 24 hours. If you don't, as long as people don't mind seeing me in my bathroom in the morning, that's actually a scary thought, I guess. But
it's already on social media anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I sell cars, so it's hard to insult me. But anyway, let's open up the trail and let's keep Riverside Drive at least from Lazar to Alloway Avenue the same. And let's repave it and recondition it. But, people along there, I do have the petition I didn't bring with me tonight. Steve, would you sign it?
Well, we're not going to get into that kind of a dialogue. Right.
Steve
and I are
not
excited. All right. Anybody else wish to talk to the board? We do have some hands coming up. Ladies first.
My name is Ann Lays. I live at 434 Mission Road in Alloway. And I speak for all the people who like to drive fast here tonight. I love Riverside Drive the way it is. It's my go-to street if I want to get to Green Bay fast or want to get to the pier fast. I would like to see the traffic continue flowing as it is without exceeding posted speed limits. Sidewalks on that road would be too dangerous, so I am against them. I'm all for trail usage, though. I've been instrumental also in helping get the Fox River Trail going and went to a lot of meetings back when that was occurring in the 90s. I saw to it that dogs were welcome on the East River Trail, and that's been very nice to have, too. As far as being able to expand the trail to 60 feet, well, that probably solved the problem of using part of it for pedestrian traffic in the winter months and also allowing other recreational users to use whatever means they want to enjoy themselves. I'm also in favor of getting rid of those fees as long as the trail is going to be used as a sidewalk. I don't pay for a sidewalk usage fee when I walk down Lytle Avenue. You can probably speak to the Godfather back here about why those are there to begin with, but maybe we can be exempt from those now. And then that's just about it. Let the traffic flow.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. The other man.
Jen Vandenhausen, 3742 Eastwood Avenue. Just one point, just to make sure I understand properly. I don't believe there is a fee for using the trail if you are a pedestrian. That's only for wheeled vehicles. Okay, so I wanted to make sure I understood that properly. Sounds like there's a lot of great suggestions as to how we could improve the trail that could potentially exempt us from needing to put those bike ped accommodations along Riverside Drive. A couple of points on that. I believe the funding would look a little different for trail improvements as compared to what it would look like for putting bike ped accommodations along Riverside Drive. So if we are going to try and tie those two issues together, I think we would need to consider where the funding would come from to put those necessary improvements on the trail, because it wouldn't be the same source. So it's not just, well, we improved the trail, we don't have to do this. It's two different kind of financial considerations. I'm speaking tonight as a mother of two young children that lives in Alloway and uses the trail during the summer, but with great hesitation because there really is no way to safely get across Riverside Drive to get to that trail. So I will
let you know that the board knows that the crossings suck. And we're doing the best that we can to try to make it. That's the one thing everybody agrees on, that the crossings suck. And we're going to do the best we can to make sure we have safe and effective crossings across Riverside.
And I think that, thank you, and I think it's probably something we can all agree on, is that we'd like it safer Riverside Drive. So whether that means wider, more narrow, I think that's where we need to have some conversation, but we want a safer Riverside Drive. I think there is an opportunity to look at a jurisdictional transfer. So if we wanted to lower that speed limit on Riverside Drive, there's a process we could go through with the state, and I don't know whether DePere went through that process to be able to get their speed limit down to 25. And I'm not suggesting that it should be 25 or that I know the perfect speed limit, but there is an avenue that we can pursue to be able to kind of really seriously look at that speed question. Otherwise, any kind of crosswalk, I mean, you take life into your own hands when you enter that crosswalk. If we are going to put those improvements on the trail, we need to look at public access points. So right now, to access the trail, there's only a limited number of spots where you can do that unless you were going to go tromping through someone's yard and see Cliff in his bathrobe and, you know, any of that. So if we're going to really say, you know, the trail is it, we are not going to put bike ped accommodations anywhere else on Riverside Drive, we need to look at funding for what those improvements look like. We would need to look at a lowered speed limit, the better crosswalks. We would need to look at increased access points, which I believe would require some real estate acquisition, you know, at determined points to be able to put those paths in so there wouldn't be trespassing. So a few considerations there from my perspective. But I guess I would just encourage us to think, you know, we all have kind of different values, whether it be our tree, our fence line, wanting to be healthier, more active. I would encourage us to think beyond the current, though, and also think about the vision of the village and of its residents for the future. We know communities that are really embracing bicycle and pedestrian accommodations are really doing well in terms of attracting and retaining, you know, that really vibrant population. I think a multi-generational community is the strongest community. So we want to make sure that we make decisions that welcome all parts of the population. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
There's a gentleman over here. You, sir.
Rich Light, 2365 Riverside Drive. I'm a graduate of UWGB. When that college was put in place, they anticipated 100,000 students by the year 2000. Okay, and the reason I bring that up is because we can do all of our planning numbers, but we don't always get it right. All right, so let's be clear about that. A couple of things that I guess I'm really concerned about as a resident is being able to look forward to the future, but also preserving what we have in Alloway. I mean, to have a fence, and I'm not going to get into that, but for the DOT to come to us and say they're going to build us a replica fence, I think is absurd. And when I hear that, it literally makes me sick. It'd be like, well, we're going to build a replica Lambeau Field. It doesn't happen. You can't replace those types of things. You cannot replace 150-year-old cottonwoods. You can't replace 100-year-old maples. You can't replace 60, 70-foot-high cedar trees. You can't. Not in our lifetime. They're already there. That's what makes our village unique. The homes, the history. Okay? And so how do we meld that together? And I think what I would ask, now that we have some extra time, is can we go back And is there an option here? The big problem is that's a state highway. There's some common sense that I'm missing. How about, can we get that state highway rerouted? We're talking about north of really 172. Webster Avenue is set up to handle this. Okay, there's sidewalks there. There's four lanes there. And if we can reroute the state highway through Alloway on Webster Avenue, Riverside Drive now becomes a historical district. And Cliff, I wouldn't sign that petition if we could do that, because we could make Riverside Drive smaller. North of 172, we could actually reduce the number of lanes. We could put in our bike lanes. We could put in our sidewalks, and we could actually have less of a road, 25 miles an hour, keep our beautiful trees, keep our historic area. All right? So is that an option? Are we thinking about that kind of stuff? All right? We have a road there that has no room to grow unless you're going to completely wipe out some of these things that have been there for 100 years. All right? We have property owners. Their driveways are the highway. All right? Where are we going to expand this road? Because it's terrible. We all know that. It needs to be done. So reroute the highway to Webster. Narrow Riverside Drive, bring it down to two lanes north of 172, put in your bike lanes, put in your sidewalks, and guess what? You're actually going to expand people's yards by doing that. All right? If we can think about that option. But we got to preserve our heritage at the same time, like Van Zandt said before us, bringing in people that are looking for, you know, the bike routes, the pedestrian areas, all that stuff. And yet, you know, there's great ways we can do this. And I think that's one option we can do. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, sir.
I just want to make the point that the last set of comments is not so crazy, because that kind of solution had been examined early on in the design process. I think the road was called it Twiddle or something, but it had two travel lanes, center turn lane, and bike lanes, and it was a narrower overall section. The thing we have to kind of get up beyond just assuming the DOT has everybody's best interest in mind, because they do have a mission to grow traffic, to provide for increased traffic volumes. And the Wisconsin DOT is renowned nationally for overestimating traffic volumes and roadways. So a two-lane or three-lane roadway with bike lanes and sidewalks is an actual realistic solution. They've been used, they're called road diets. They've been used in other communities nationwide. And every time they're used, the traffic, they say that the traffic's going to be much more congested. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It just goes away. Nobody knows why. They assume that people just take other routes. They find other ways of getting around. Some communities, they see a dramatic increase in bicycle use. So it is really possible to look at a solution where you reduce the road section and you think about actually reducing the traffic volume. Now, the DOT would never approach that normally, but it is possible to seriously ask for that type of solution.
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Roger, can I ask you a question? I remember the Twiddle was out of there early. I mean, that idea was eliminated really early. Can you tell us again why that was? I don't recall.
Well, it was based on their modeling. They have a computer program, a traffic modeling program, that assesses, based on the existing traffic volumes and some sort of constant that they use to project the increase over a 20-year period, they estimate how much backup of traffic would occur at traffic control conditions, stoplights, intersections, when that occurs. But what they don't have in their traffic models is a way of presuming dispersal of the traffic to other routes and reduction of traffic, because the road is now usable in other ways. So
It was eliminated.
I don't know if that's the best solution. I mean, one of the big issues with a state route is emergency access. And that's why we end up with two lanes each way, because the emergency vehicles need that kind of access. But, you know, Amway Avenue, east of the river, up in the East River, you know, functions pretty well with the volume on it. I don't see that Riverside normally would have a lot more volume. It's a realistic solution that could be employed.
One other question, and my memory isn't serving me that well on this. Would it be possible to combine the Twiddle aspect in the areas where it is the neighborhood, the areas of, I have my glasses off here, that was suggested, Lazar and Alloy Avenue. Would it be feasible, in your estimation, to use a Twiddle in that area and not in the other areas?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable because a lot of the traffic coming from the pier and from Green Bay and from Alloy goes to 172. So that's a point where you could make a transition from a two-lane condition to a four-lane condition without much problem. A lot of that traffic will go on 172 and disperse that way. You might want to extend the two lanes further north, perhaps to St. Francis Park, where you can engineer a better transition from four lanes to two lanes. And then you would want to reduce your traffic speeds, of course, between Green Bay and Alloway to accommodate that transition. So.
And really, it's now, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking that it really was, I didn't think a Twiddle could accommodate the amount of traffic that they project. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Retzloff.
Craig.
Mr. Byrne.
Just a couple thoughts on the question of the Twiddle and also rerouting traffic to Webster Avenue. When they looked at the alternatives for Riverside Drive, and I'm not recalling which half of Riverside Drive had the highest traffic volume, whether it was the south half or the north half. I don't recall which one it was. But we did, if you recall, we did request consideration of a Twiddle at the beginning of the project. And they determined that the Twiddle could not handle the traffic volume growth that they were projecting for Riverside Drive. And if they use the Twiddle on Riverside Drive, what it would do is push more traffic onto Webster, and in their modeling of Webster Avenue, they found that that created congestion and traffic problems in certain areas on Webster. So I wish it would have been applicable if our traffic volume was lower. It would have been. That would have been a very nice solution. But there is a projected growth of, I think, around 2,000 cars per day on Riverside Drive. And that's just enough to create the congestion and not be able to handle the volume. And we really did look at that in a lot of detail, but they just felt it would not meet the future needs.
All right. Thank you for that history.
This will be the last time I come up. Jen Vandenhausen, 3742 Eastwood Avenue. I would encourage us as a village to push back on that with DOT. My understanding is that our State Department of Transportation is notoriously high in how they project for traffic volumes, and that this has been done on other state highways around the state of Wisconsin where they have gone to that design with the two lanes of traffic and the center turn lane, and that it is very doable and has been successful. So I think we might be potentially being handed some misinformation from DOT, which might not be the first time that's happened. So I think as a village, it seems as though we're coming across an option that would be a middle ground that would please potentially residents on Riverside Drive in terms of that historic value, and also residents that really want to have a safer road to cross and to be able to get to that trail and to have those adequate bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. So I would strongly encourage that we push back at DOT and say we'd like to see that original option again, and we know it can be done based on precedent around the state.
Thank you, Matt. Matt.
Mary Harrison, 1484 McCormick Street. First of all, I would like to thank you all for your service to our community. I believe that sometimes it's a thankless job and you're doing something very important, so thank you. I would like to support Jen's comments. She's a real leader and she thinks outside the box, and so I support what she said. And I also challenge us to be a community that leads other communities in our state. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Oh, back there.
Thank you. Heather Gentry, number 249 Kenny Street. Tonight, whether you are in favor of bike lanes or not in this project, or river, or Fox River Trail or not, speed seems to be the really cohesive issue here on Riverside Drive, and I agree, it's a raging bull that's cutting through our community. I do worry about the crosswalks and how pedestrians are going to get across safely without having to dodge traffic, especially some of us who walk slower or some of us with small children. I will mention that bike lanes, shrubbery, and sidewalks are all traffic calming measures when it comes to reconstruction, and do tend to bring the speeds down a little bit. That being said, I do understand that the Fox River Trail is ultimately the safest option for bicycle commuter traffic. My concerns there are land acquisition for widening the trail. We're already considering taking away some frontage from some of our residents. What about their backyards? I think land acquisition might be even more expensive, potentially. I don't really know. So it's really kind of heavy-handed and a tough issue, I understand. However, safety and speed on that road, I think, really needs to be considered for everybody. Thank you.
All right, thank you, ma'am. Ms. Pohl.
Pohl, 2375 Riverside Drive. I like what I am hearing in the fact of having, what did you call it, a twiddle bill? Okay. Silly name, but it sounds like it could work. I appreciate that this would be tough to maybe go back and say, hey, we want to reconsider this. But there have been a lot of things brought up this evening that I don't recall having been brought out in other meetings. And I think it would behoove us to say to the DOT, we would like you to reconsider, and we would like to have the two lanes. And the twiddle in the middle, I guess, is what you would call it. And I do thank you for your patience also. But I think that this would solve an awful lot of problems for all sides concerned. And if there is on the trail a 60-foot access, then I don't think you're going to have to be buying parts of people's property to widen that from 12 feet to 15 or 20 feet wide. So, and I do know that when they redid Riverside Drive in 1985, I think it was, they did not do a good job on the undersurface, on the roadbed itself, and that, yes, that does need to be corrected. It most certainly does. So, thank you.
Right, thank you, ma'am. There's a gentleman way in the back.
Hi, my name is Kurt Byler, 511 Beaupré. Riverside's a critical community route, so we're going to be doing this once in, what, 20, 30, 40 years, redoing it. So we need to have bicycle access and pedestrian access somewhere over there. So either it's the Fox River Trail that's kept open, lit, and plowed, and maintained with safe access routes across Riverside for 20, 30, 40 years, or we put in bike lanes and sidewalks on Riverside. So it needs to be one of the two. If we just plan for the future, we know we're going to need it. We can't put in one thing and decide something else later after Riverside's done. And then there was an argument at one time that we reduce Riverside so that we can give 2 feet back to property owners. But the thing we got with that was faster traffic comes with wider lanes, and the 2 feet we gave back to the property owners was on the other side of the sidewalk, which you put your garbage on and snow. But Just if we can just plan for one place or the other for the next 30, 40 years, that's what we need to do, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
My name is Ray Barnes. I live at 2702 Lola Drive. And I'm one of those guys that drives those big trucks. Okay? People don't realize when you're driving one of those trucks, if you have somebody that's very close to you, like on a bike lane or even the sidewalks on Webster Street, the amount of air that's accumulated by those trucks and their wheels, it's very dangerous for anybody that's even remotely close while you're driving past them, even at 25 miles an hour. And therefore, I cannot see any viable reason to put bike lanes or sidewalks down on Riverside. And the safety factor is just, if you have one life lost, it's not worth having those bike lanes down there. And as far as transferring 57 up onto Webster, those sidewalks are right on the road. That'd be a total disaster. If you're going to do that, move it out in the outskirts of the city and let's get that other roadway built south of De Pere and cross over the Fox down there and have all those roads go around the city itself. But I can tell you right now, if you put all those semis up on Webster, you're going to have nothing but problems. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that insight. The gentleman back there.
John Harrington, and I live at 560 St. Mary's Boulevard. And one of the concerns is the speed that's on there. I have grandchildren, and if they're going to be put on a bike lane along that road, it would be insane. I see the turnbuckles that come off the trucks that hit my fence. My house runs along Riverside Drive. And the stuff that flies off that road is quite a bit. I cut my lawn, I know it hits that. I don't think it would be worth anything to anybody. A seasoned bicyclist maybe, but if you have children or younger people on there that aren't seasoned bicyclists, I don't think it would be safe. The trail, I think, is a good option. I think it's something that should be really looked at and maybe made part of our highway system if that's what they're going to do. An alternative comes to mind is Highway GV, and that does come out towards 57. Maybe that'd be a better option to get the state highway out of the village, make it more residential. Like I said, the speeds, people are doing 40, 45. It's pretty obvious. And the gentleman about the trucks is absolutely right. If you've got a abandoned car and a semi goes past you, you can see how close your vehicle. Imagine what it does to a person on a bike. I think that it's just a safety issue across the board. As for snow, I happen to be in the narrowest part of the entire road, so I'm well aware of what that's going to be. But snow removal is going to be an issue as you narrow up that road for people, what they're going to do with it. I widen up the road, narrows up the property. Myself, graciously, the village has offered to help a little bit with the sidewalk because I'm going to have to push all my snow with the new sidewalk straight ahead. I can't go left or right with it, so that's another issue. But, you know, we do what we got to do. So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Gentleman in the front.
Hi, Tom Delsar, 2502 Riverside Drive. We also live at the narrowest part in the road. I don't know where he lives, but I can't imagine living in a narrower part of Riverside Drive than we live. But to address the twiddle, I've been to every stakeholder meeting since this started 9 months ago, and we went through the twiddle, and even tonight coming here, I picked up my neighbor, and we probably waited 3 or 4 minutes just to get onto Riverside Drive with 4 lanes of traffic. If it were 2 lanes of traffic, we'd probably get here, you know, half hour later. The idea of reducing Riverside Drive to 2 lanes of traffic with the volume of traffic we have just seems not plausible. But my daughter lives in Milwaukee, and she's 28 years old, and all of her friends that went to Marquette have been accidents bicycling downtown Milwaukee. The system there with bicycles and the bicycle path is just too dangerous, and the idea that we're doing that here, as the gentleman talked about with driving a semi or a big truck, is very dangerous. The Box River Trail seems to be the only safe system, as much as I hate to say it, because our front yard is, we shovel snow or snow blow and watch for cars not to go by so that we can make a pass and get out of the way, because the stuff hits the front door of our house. The idea of making that wider, it just doesn't work. I can't imagine somebody trying to bike out in that road the way they're talking. It seems very dangerous. I'm sure you can talk big, but when you're out there biking and you get in an accident, life changes. I hate to see somebody get injured or killed trying to ride on Riverside Drive. We could do, like I mentioned earlier, plowing part of the trail, plowing would just make a big crusty hump, some type of alternative system back there, and widening it 4 feet. I'm against that, but it's progress. There's no clear answer to what we're looking for. You guys have a very hard decision to make, what you're going to endorse and say, to the DOT. But good luck.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am. We are going to wind it down relatively soon.
Jen Vandenelson, 3742 Eastwood Avenue. I can certainly respect the viewpoints that are being offered in the room today, but I think we're hearing, I think we need to continue to consider the facts at hand here. So there was an example made of Milwaukee. Well, the city of Milwaukee is actively pursuing expansion of their trail system and better bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure in order to protect against some of those accidents. So we know statistically, if we narrow the road visually and physically, trucks, vehicles will go slower, and that will result in fewer accidents, fewer fatalities, statistically. So I think right now we're hearing a lot of, I can't imagine it being safe to bike and to walk on that corridor. I can't imagine it in the current state either, which is why we need to think towards the future in terms of bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. I do bike in that area from time to time. I'm terrified to bike with my children in a carrier behind me, and it can be very terrifying. But I think we need to think forward as to how we would build that infrastructure so that it is safe. And I think we have a viable option to consider. And I don't know why they call it a twiddle, probably so that we don't pick it. But I think we have a viable option to consider that would reduce the speed and make it much safer. So bicycles are a legally recognized user of the road, so we need to consider them as well. And beyond that, we know that about a third of our population in Brown County does not drive because of age, because of disability. There's an even a greater number of people beyond that choose not to drive, whether it be for economic constraints or just because they choose to be active. Those are all people in our community that have a right to be able to use this corridor of transportation. So I would encourage us to consider all users. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'll be brief. I just wanted to summarize what I saw here. By establishing the Murphy Coles Estate as a local landmark, the property owners adjacent to that can force the state to give them extraordinary consideration for any alternative use for pedestrian and bicycle accommodations. And by establishing the Murphy Coles Gate as a local landmark and using the Fox River Trail as a free pedestrian accommodation, using the Fox River Trail as a recreational bicycle accommodation, and having Riverside Drive with a wide outside lane and a fog line as the free bicycle accommodation for high-speed bikers and for bicycle commuters. I think you meet all of the federal regulations, and that you can show the federal government, the federal DOT, that we are working hard to include bicycles, pedestrians, and the rights of property owners, as well as historic structures in this one project. So all of those are required. There is a bill before the state right now to remove local control from the historic preservation commissions, and this would be an excellent example of local control of our own property and of our own highway department. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Anyone else? All right. Thank you all. I mean, lots of wonderful suggestions, and as somebody indicated, we got to make decisions, and it's hard to always make a decision. You never make a decision that pleases everybody, or very rarely. So I will resume the rules, and for purposes of the board discussion, I think what I want to do is, although these are two separate items on the agenda in terms of snow removal on the Fox River Trail versus options, design options for Riverside Drive, even though they're separate action items, what I'd like to do, hearing no objection from the board, is have discussion on both of those agenda items at the same time. And then what we will do is we'll revert back to the original agenda and take them as action items one at a time, with the snow removal on Fox River Trail going first. So, because they are interlinked. And so we should have a discussion on both those issues, but then we'll resume the normal agenda and vote on them separately, with the snow removal issue going first. Any objection to that process? All right, so basically the board will discuss both of those issues at the present time. I think since I'm the president, I'll go first. I'm going to pick myself. It's a very difficult issue. I mean, there's a lot of competing considerations, you know, that need to be accounted for. I'm trying to find my notes. I've written so many notes, I can't find the ones I want. Here they are. There's a lot of things that we do agree on. One, that Riverside Drive needs much, much better crossing. And we've been very diligent and forceful with the Department of Transportation to ensure that's going to happen. And I believe it is going to happen, because I think everybody, including the DOT, recognizes that that's a terrible place to try to cross in its current state. So that is one goal that will be actively pursued, which is we do need safe crossings across Riverside to access the Fox River Trail. I cringe many times seeing people try to cross Riverside. I mean, it's almost impossible, and you do take your life in your hands. So that in my mind is priority number one. We figure out a way to get people safely across Riverside Drive. I know that's the concern and the consensus of the board and our public works staff as well. And there are several viable options being contemplated in the design for safe crossing. I think the other thing that we all agree upon is speed is an issue on Riverside Drive. And we've kind of beat our heads against the wall on that one with the Department of Transportation, saying it's 25 on both of the other ends. Why isn't it 25 in our portion? We really don't get any place with that argument, because they have the traffic studies, and I suspect they're partially true. Just the way that it's laid out in most part, it encourages people to drive a little faster. So they set speed limits in accordance with what people do. Because sometimes if you artificially set it too low, that creates a danger as well. So I don't think we're going to get any place on changing the speed limit. The board is very cognizant and aware of lots of other speed mitigation or lessening speed devices, you know, be it medians, you know, be it other. We're aware of those kind of things, and we plan to incorporate speed reduction methods and practices into the redesign to do what we can to lessen the speed. I don't think it's going to be the speed limit, but we can do other things in terms of design concept, medians, and the types of medians you put in to try to lessen the speed. I think the crosswalks and the safe crossings are going to lessen the speed. That's a goal that everybody has. So that's going to be, I think, priority number two, is to get the speed dropped by the people that travel down Riverside. So I think those are two important objectives that we all agree on. Get people safely across and lower the speed. Now we get into the fun stuff, which is the stuff that we have debates upon. In terms of whether or not to expand the Riverside Drive and increase its width, I'm not in favor of that. I think it's fine where it is. I understand the history. I understand the fence. I like the fence. I think it brings character. I think expansion of Riverside Drive and widening it any further than it is an undue encroachment upon the property owners. It increases the cost of the project exorbitantly if we have to acquire more land to do it. So I'm not in favor of that. I think, and then we've heard about the twiddle concept or the tweeter concept or whatever that is. I know we looked at it early on with the DOT. They didn't seem to think it was a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I know where the one is. If you go down Alloway Avenue, all by the right place and towards Target, it works there. But with the current traffic capacity on Riverside, I don't think it's going to work. I just don't think it's going to work. I think the traffic's going to get more traffic on Riverside. And then we talk about, then we're just pushing the problem onto a different street. And if we do something like that, I don't think it would work the way with the traffic patterns the way they are now on the traffic flow. I don't think that concept would work. Somebody said, you know, that they would have showed up half an hour late because it took them long enough to get on Riverside Drive with four lanes of traffic. I mean, you can imagine if it's two. So I don't think it's going to work. And I think, you know, that it would then push traffic onto Webster. So if we went through that concept, in 3 years we'll have the Webster residents in here complaining about how their traffic has been exorbitantly increased. And if we exorbitantly increase the traffic on Webster, that creates safety concerns because we're going to reroute trucks up onto Webster. And for the reasons stated by our truck driver friend, you know, that creates a safety problem. I think putting bike lanes and those kind of things on Riverside creates a safety problem. And once again, I don't think we need to expand the roadway any wider than it is now. It works, I think, fairly well for moving people. So I don't think any kind of redesign is in order. I think that the Fox River Trail does present a very credible and viable alternative to people that want to walk and that want to bike, and takes care of the pedestrian need. That's what it was built for. It's about the safest spot you're going to get. Somebody had the Solomon idea before. I like that. You know, in terms of us taking care of Riverside to a certain extent, Fox River Trail, plow half the darn thing. People want to ride their bikes on there when they can ride their bikes, so be it. You got room to do it. It's not going to happen all the time. Ice is going to develop. It's not going to be the safest thing. That's why most people don't ride their bikes anymore. But if you want to, I think we can plow half of it. But it's not going to be perfect either. There's going to be ice and there's going to be snow accumulation, so it won't be perfect. I think we leave the other half for the people that like, you know, snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. I mean, 6 feet's of enough room to do both of those things at the same location. I think it'll be a relatively low expense. That's not lighted down in that neck of the woods. So I think the village could explore some unobtrusive lighting, you know, and I think we could use some of that tax rebate money for a project perhaps like that, because I think that would be an economic development type concept. I don't think we need to expand the Fox River Trail in any way, shape, or form. Once again, that encroaches upon people's property. Even though there's a right there, that trail runs into some people's backyards or right next to their backyards. Even though you can do it, I don't think we should. And the cost would be exorbitant as well. We just widen the East River Trail, and it costs a lot of money to do that. So I think the Fox River Trail is fine, just as it is. I think maybe we could explore lighting portions of it. I'm not talking about big, you know, terribly big and obtrusive lighting because of, you know, some people reside along there, but something, you know, maybe a little bit more subdued. I think that's what I think. What you all think? Trustee Green.
Mine's going to be short. Speed, go down.
See, I found out if I talk for a long time that nobody else wants to talk.
you know, you do a very good points, job, yes. So I mean, the rest of us don't have to, which is awesome. I am not for widening it at all. I really want some clarification regarding the DOT. I am highly concerned that things were not understood at best, that were disingenuously represented at worst. That upsets me greatly with how that part's been handled. I don't think it needs to expand at all. I would like to see some sidewalks, though, on the commercial areas where the residential ones are, if they can fit it into the roadway, but not any expansion. And I appreciate what you say about trucks. I live right up on Webster, right off of Webster, and I walk on Webster. And I love walking to the grocery store and getting my groceries and being able to walk home. But you're right. Every time a truck comes through Webster, if we have to put those sidewalks right up to the road, that's just as dangerous. I was also hit by an 18-wheeler once when I was driving on Mason and pushed up onto the sidewalk. And thank goodness there was not a pedestrian there. And when I asked the DOT regarding barriers to protect walkers from the roadway, I was basically told that it was made for cars. And they had no interest in doing that, because one of the things was some of the island refuges with the crosswalks is putting some barriers in case a car comes across. They hit a pillar, they hit a big tree, they hit something else besides you as you're standing there. That doesn't seem to be in their best interest or in the interest of the DOT. And they cited some law that I don't agree with. So I would love to see better pedestrian crossings. I'm very concerned they think your trees should go. And I would love to see them, speaking of which, redo that roadway with less impact on the trees. The trees then impact the fence. So I'm intrigued by the idea of the fence being a historical designation. So I think that sums up where I'm at with it. But we need to drop the speeds. And there is talk about once reconstruction is done, if we get local control over that, that we could possibly then decrease the speeds. But please know, we have asked them numerous times, and we get told no. So.
Any other board comment?
Oh, Fox River Trail. I think we should plow part of it. I think it should accommodate everybody, and I think it should be better kept in winter.
Thank you, Trustee Green. Trustee Rafter, would you have your hand up?
Yep. Well, I do think these are related. I don't think they're dependent on each other. I think we can make a decision independently. But you're right, they are related to some extent. I am, in a perfect world, I would love to see big, wide bike lanes with a barrier to the driving lanes. But, and I believe in accommodating for as many people as we can, so bicyclists, walkers, drivers. But I'm not in favor of making those accommodations at the expense of property owners who have already once, at least once before, been impacted by a widening of the roadway. And some of the folks were asking, are we only talking about north of 172? And no, just like the gentleman who lives at St. Mary's and the folks who aren't here tonight but from Briar Lane and St. Francis who have spoken up many times about this. We're talking about the whole corridor. And maybe not at 172, and I found Mr. Retzloff's comment about maybe putting in a bike accommodation at the 172 interchange. That sounded interesting. But I'm not in favor at all of widening the roadway. I am all in favor of moving Highway 57. The only thing that would really move are the trucks. And I believe that traffic will increase over time because you have development going in down in Green Bay, you have development going on in Alloway, and you have development going on in De Pere. And Riverside is a connecting point from point A to point B, as Mr. O'Rourke said a couple of weeks ago. But so I do think we're going to have that traffic. Safety is number one. Regarding sidewalks, we discussed the need to get to the trail. Everyone talks about how great of a treasure that is to Alloway, and it is. But it's only a treasure if we can get there. I live on Briar Lane, and I enjoy walking down to the trail, but I couldn't get to the trail if we didn't have a sidewalk and crossings along Riverside Drive, at least on one side. And I understand, you know, up by you, where it's super, super narrow, I quite honestly, I don't know what the impact of a sidewalk would be, even though it's not the safest thing in the world. It's a way for people to get down to Riverside Drive, get over to a crossing, and get down. So I am in favor of a sidewalk, but I would surely suggest, just as I've talked to the folks down St. Mary's, Arrowhead, St. Francis, and Briar, that let's make it so that it doesn't impact property owners. So maybe without moving the fence, can we get a sidewalk in there that at least gets people down there? For speed, the best thing is to put a squad car down there and write lots of tickets. It works in De Pere. In terms of crossings, we are talking even on a temporary basis with the DOT about getting temporary crossings between now and 2021, at least at several stages along the roadway. And I had a discussion with some folks from the DOT asking them, can we put actuated signals along that at those crosswalks so that when people want to cross, they can at least inform drivers that, hey, guys, I'm crossing, so the light flashing. And they said we can petition for that. For commuter cyclists, I would think looking at Riverside Drive and not having any room and driving down Webster Avenue, even though if you widen that roadway, it would still impact property owners, but it wouldn't impact, I don't think in most places it would impact property owners to the extent where a roadway is right up on their front lawn. So I would think that that would be a consideration for bike lanes for people to get north and south. And the gentleman's disagreeing with me from the trucking perspective, and I don't have enough knowledge on that. I like the idea of the trail. I like the idea of plowing the trail. And that's it.
And that's all she wrote.
That's all.
Trustee Harris.
Well, at the moment, I can take the Charlie Brown approach, and I can see I'm wishy-washy on one direction versus another. I can see some pros and some cons. With regard to clearing the trail, or at least a portion of the trail, I don't know the feasibility of that and keeping that as clean as possible, as well as I worry about situations of walkers and, not walking dead walkers, walkers and bikers meeting up and where we could have accidents there, whether they're coming from opposite directions or coming or one trying to pass another. That 5-6 feet of being clear could be an issue. The maintenance costs would probably be about the same whether we're clearing half of it or all of it. I know we Chris sent us a note earlier today. It doesn't seem like De Pere is currently in favor of clearing the trail. So if, and I think I brought this up at a previous meeting, if we cleared the trail to a certain point to the village limits south, we would not get to the boat landing area. So all of a sudden it would stop. Obviously you'd still be able to walk along it or possibly bike along it, but not to with the same level of access. So that would be a concern of mine. And Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the other question I've had is in terms of maintenance and the recreational immunity, one of the things that got brought up is in the note that you wrote, you said, we should address all maintenance issues as preventative maintenance. How does, is that a distinguishing characteristic of the work that has to be done, or is that just, I read too much into the exact wording of what you meant?
I think you read a little bit too much into it. What we're talking about is that we shouldn't know that there's ice out there and not do anything about it, thinking that recreational immunity will cover us, because we should be out there taking care of any issues that we know of. So that would require additional funding to do that sort of work. Another point with regards to maintaining and utilizing that the Fox River Trail is, remember, that is a state recreational trail that is maintained by Brown County Parks Department. So before we would be able to utilize that, there would be quite a bit of discussions with those two entities, I think, that would allow us to utilize it for those purposes. Matt Creasy, the assistant parks director for Brown County Parks, he'd be happy to come to any meeting, you know, if you had questions regarding some of those issues. He's got more background and more history with regards to maintaining the Fox River Trail, and I think he would be an excellent person to, you know, have some of those discussions.
The other thing I've thought about is the idea, I think it was broached once, of a one-year experiment. We try it for the winter of 15-16, or up to the winter of 16-17, where we did take care of it for that season and see what the effect is. Maybe if there's a way to monitor usage so that we can get feedback from the public on, okay, it's better this way, it's better another way. The other thing I look at, though, instead of doing that, we also already have the East River Trail, if that's groomed for winter activities. So it may not be as convenient for someone who's closer to Riverside as opposed to East River Trail, but that opportunity is there. So that's, again, where I'm back and forth on different things with that topic.
That's a good point.
I definitely want to look into and learn a little bit more about the jurisdictional transfer, just understand it better. It may be an opportunity for us. It may be not something that fits for us. I don't know enough about it to make any kind of decision, so I'd want to learn more about the jurisdictional transfer. I am uncomfortable with the idea of 57 as a route to get from Green Bay to De Pere. That's not what we as a village want. It's part of the comprehensive plan, part of the corridor study. We want people to utilize Alloway. I understand if I want to get from De Pere to Green Bay, that would be the route that I would probably take today. But in terms of where we see the village going long term, that's not necessarily what we want. So we need to give people a reason to slow down and stop. I think some of the things that have been presented to us with the reconstruction of 57, the Riverside Drive, will slow traffic down. If we are doing our part with the TIP district and get development, that will also slow people down. The traffic signals at Alloway and the potential one at St. Joseph's, unless I have that reversed, will help us as well with slowing traffic down, the median. All those things, I think, will help. Whether or not we go off of what, you know, half-heartedly joked and half-heartedly been and also been serious about making sure that we understand and get everything that the DOT has told us, we have been told that once the construction on Riverside Drive is completed, they will do another traffic study. We were close before, but we weren't there. If the traffic study, once Riverside Drive is complete, shows that they should reduce the speed because of the things that they've done, the things that we'll implement on our own, if that shows that the speed should be reduced, then the speed limit would be reduced. It's, again, planning, hypothetical, may happen, may not. It's some of what we've been told. I look at us and we talk through our trying to be historically progressive and be a walkable, bikeable community. Shouldn't we consider at times, here's a chance for us to make one of the main thoroughfares through our village not only walkable but bikeable? Then there's the safety concern on the other side. So those are the things we've got to balance. But are we walkable? If we go with the sidewalk route, definitely. Are we bikeable? Maybe we give ourselves that opportunity. Do we go with the idea that studies showing the roads with clearly delineated bike lanes do have a effect on traffic speed? All of those things, will they add up? The extra crossing lights, the traffic signals, so on and so forth. But is it going to be somewhere where we want people traveling on a bicycle? I think I beat you, Randy. That's all I have for now.
Well said. Any other board comment? Trustee Dennis?
I'm not going to repeat everything everybody said. The comment that Trustee Green said earlier in regards to the trees in the DOT, I recall that as well at the time. and I wondered about that. not to mention the fact that those trees and their age also affect the valuation of the Village Valley itself, and I would be questioning that as well. As to local landmark, if you say Murphy Coles, we know what they're talking about. If you say Murphy Coles, it's there, we know what it is, so let's designate it. There's never been any bike study done by the DOT, even though it comes under their authority. They've never said anything about it. They've said it was an insignificant number, and they're telling us they have to do this. In regards to putting it on there, I'm against that idea, because if you go down there and if you walk along Riverside Drive, and the semis and trucks that go by, I'm a guy who has a lot of ballast. Okay? And when those trucks go by, I have been literally thrown, pushed by the wind of those trucks when they go by. If I'm on a bicycle, which is less stable than like 2 feet in most instances, I think that would be a dangerous thing. The other thing is in regards to the people who live along Riverside Drive 57. In 1988, when they came through and then supposedly improved and or not perfected, but made better the conditions along Highway 57 Riverside Drive, they told the people back then when they took land from them at that time that that would be the last time, that it would be unnecessary because they would have done everything they needed to do. These people have already sacrificed part of their property for this highway. I don't see what they have to do it again. I don't think it's right. In regards to the Department of Transportation, this last year, the Department of Transportation, the state of Wisconsin, was $570 million in debt. Just the transportation department was $570 million in debt. I'm not going to make that much in the next 10 years. So they better find a different way to do things. Sometimes it is true that what we have is the best alternative to what we think might work. And in that regard, I think that the idea of being able to scrape that top level off and to repair it and fix it is a good idea. You will never have a stable roadbed on that road. It is part of a river side embankment. I had one of the men from the DOT told me that they could stabilize it, but they'd have to put 8 to 9 inches of cement underneath the road, as they did on the Autobahn in Germany, to make it stabilized. And I said, well, how much would that cost? And he said, well, 3.5 miles, probably about $25 million. Well, that's not going to happen either. In regards to plowing the trail, I think the half-and-half idea is a good idea. I think the one-year thing is a good idea. As somebody who uses the trail both for biking in the winter as well as cross-country skiing, I have worked my way around it. But I think it would be a good idea to take a look at it. And about it.
All right. Thank you, Trustee Dennis. Anyone else wish to be heard? There is no motion pending. Trustee Raffer.
Just real quick, regarding Chris, your statement about the state, we have to be careful about this, asking the state to allow us to use that as an official bike and sidewalk pedestrian.
I'm not.
That's why I said they're related, but they're not dependent. I'm not suggesting that by plowing the Fox River Trail, we're asking the state to accept that as an official pedestrian walkway. I'm just saying, let's provide that access and see what happens. Because otherwise, we're tying them together, and that could kill one or the other. And I liked Trustee Harris's idea or comment about, we groom the East River Trail. We have two trails. Maybe in the winter we can have one groomed for skiing and snowshoeing and the other one for walking and bicycling. So I would be in support of a one-year trial on that. But I did want to ask Chris about the costs as well. You gave us three options in our packet. One was Brown County, one was a private contractor, and then one was the Village of Alloway doing it, it seemed.
Correct. Those are preliminary costs that I had for staff, in-house staff, to do that work.
Okay.
And very close to the estimates that I believe you had from a couple of weeks ago. But I really feel that because we already have a lot of the equipment, and for us to do it in-house would be less costly than definitely than the
estimate. Your estimate was about $8,000, right, in there?
Yeah, between $8,000 and $9,000.
Okay. Yeah, and in terms of a trial, I think it's a great idea. I think we kind of got the answer to our question about would people use it by the earlier statement of because it's warm weather, people are still down there using it. So, thank you.
All right, any other board? Trustee Green.
I just have one. You know, the whole funding issue, federal mandate, don't get me wrong, I'm all for walking and biking, but we need some help with this if we can. Why can't they use the money that's designated for that that would have been on Riverside to give us a much safer option on the Fox River Trail? And, I mean, I understand we have entities here with they don't make our objective is to get pedestrians and bikers safely where they need to go. I don't care where the money comes from. So why can't we approach state and fed, and do we know of them doing this anywhere else? Because the Fox River Trail, to me, is such a safer option than dealing with Riverside that I would like to see us at least ask the question and see if they've done it before and then how the process would be. Because, you know, Brown County's got the same issues with money as all of us do, and it's, if we could tap into those federal dollars for that, since the federal mandate, and we're not going to get any started on unfunded mandates right now, but why can't we take those dollars, transfer them over to the trail to make not only trail maintenance, but then trail improvements better? So I'd
definitely,
like to see
definitely worth investigating it further. Craig might have a little more insight as to the difference between sidewalks and trails and those regulations. I'm sure if you...
And we have such a unique situation. This would be the time for them to get out of the box on this one.
You know, that's something that we've talked about a number of times at the DOT. Their feeling was that it was not a fundable project. They could not transfer money to do that. The question can be asked again. We are closer to, you know, the final approach, or at least what we're requesting for the final approach. So it certainly can be asked. I don't get the sense that there's an option to really do that, but you know, it's worthwhile asking the question and asking them to address it again and to explore it. It's a worthwhile question.
Well, and I would, because if we don't spend the money on the bike lanes on Riverside, they're going to transfer that money somewhere to another project, to another something within the DOT. So why can't they transfer it?
There's a shortage of money overall.
And I get that.
And so they're really looking at how they can preserve what funding they can preserve for the projects that are in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're moved back 5 years already. That tells you what's happening with the funding. The real crux of this issue is something we can't control and something that they can't predict what's going to come out of it, and that is the legislative action to change the way complete streets are applied and what they want to do with federal funding in general for highway projects. That's 90% of the decision that has to be made by the Federal Highway Administration. How are they going to handle Wisconsin? Because Wisconsin has basically revoked complete streets. So nobody at the DOT knows how that's going to turn out. Our decision here on what we want in the roadway plays into it from the standpoint that if you include bike and ped accommodations in the project, it does give the DOT a little more in the plus column to get it approved at federal highways. Without the bike accommodations, it's a little bit of a negative. Does it change it? Nobody knows. It's really the state legislative action that comes into play at this point. That's the critical issue. But transferring the money, we can ask the question, but from what I've heard as we've gone through this project and all the meetings we've had, I don't hold much hope out to be able to transfer money to something else like this. That's totally outside of anything that they've ever done.
They would be pioneers, and we would still meet our objectives.
I understand.
And if they want to keep the money, you keep the money and tell us that, but, yeah.
Historically progressive.
It would.
You know, the thing is that it seems like oftentimes we're given the impression that we should just arbitrarily accept everything the DOT says to us and we should just stand up, salute, and march on. And I know this is putting me in a bad light in regards to the DOT, but I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should stand up, and I think
specifically what we're thinking about and how we'd like to do it. And if that means we have to work with our legislators to try and change something or do something different, then that's what we do. The Department of Transportation has told us before, if you remember that meeting when we had elected public officials, where they said, well, we don't do that because that's uncharted waters. We've never done that kind of thing before. And to my reply was that someone had to discover America from Europe at one point in time, so you had to cross those waters. And at which point, the member of the DOT told me that he would gladly slow down the speed on Riverside Drive by creating a speed bump if I would be the one to lay down and have the tar paved over me. And so I'm not in the best of light with them. But I think we should stand up and say that we have specific thoughts and ideas in regards to what we want and to be adamant about.
You know, to your point, Bob, but number one, I would agree with every one of your points, President Gass. All five of them, I wrote them down. In case you change your mind,
I won't remember them by the time I get them.
But to that point, it could be a little bit of a benefit that this project got pushed back because it has opened up a little bit more dialogue. It has opened up a little bit more conversation and has given us the opportunity to dig our heels in a little bit on this. I think it's okay to say that portions of Riverside Drive are as landlocked as the village of Alloway itself, and we're going to have to work within those parameters. And it doesn't mean taking 12 feet of additional property on both sides to make it happen. Might have to just get outside the box a little bit.
Any other board discussion? Trustee Harris.
Is a possibility, if we were to go with the wider road, the two feet of extra pavement, and if the bike lanes didn't work out the way we would anticipate them, would it be possible to, in essence, move each of the sets of lanes slightly closer to the curb and have an actual median in the road to, again, help with whether it's a crossing area, whether it's a barrier, so to speak, to help slow traffic? Would that be something we could have as an option for ourselves, so that if one doesn't work, we have a backup?
You're still taking property from the homeowner, but you said you weren't going to do it again.
Well, the board's resumed the rules, so only the board can talk right now. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
What I would say to that is that you have two 11-foot travel lanes in each direction in the current design. We would switch that to two 12-foot lanes. That way you'd still retain the 2-foot curb on the side, but the striping of the road would change. The 11-foot or 12-foot lane is not going to make much difference in speed. That's not really going to change them. So that's how you would adapt. I don't think you would go and put a 2-foot median between two lanes. That we wouldn't do. But we do have the wide median in many places throughout, which really accomplishes the goal you're after, which is to slow the traffic down.
Just looking for
that's a good idea, but
other options are available.
We widen the lane and we stripe it 12 foot rather than 11. And two other comments for you, about requesting this funding transfer. I'm not saying we shouldn't request it, I'm just saying let's not get our hopes up, because that's a difficult thing to do, I think. But one other thing to keep in mind, for the pedestrian crossings, and you've talked about including some sidewalk in the project. We will need to have sidewalk in order to have the pedestrian crossings that we want. We will have to have that. Got to have a landing. We got to have a sidewalk. That is one of the design requirements that you would have to meet on that highway, because that's a federal highway standard. As long as we include that, we can do those things. It doesn't mean we have to have the full route, but we do have to have it where we have the sidewalks.
Trustee Rafter.
Last statement. I was excited to see everyone here tonight, and I thank all of our residents for being here. It really helps when you talk about issues important to the village and you have village residents getting up and talking. You know, by my tally, on the Fox River Trail, we started out with 10 yeses, 2 noes, and 2 let's think about it. And then when Mr. Delsar changed his mind to a yes, it went to 11 yeses, 1 no, and I think that's a pretty strong statement. So thank you for everyone for being here.
All right. Any other board comment? Any discussion? we'll definitely have a discussion period. Well, I think we've said pretty much everything after we get back to the agenda and take things in order. So what I will then do is we'll take old item 6, which we advanced on the agenda, snow removal of alloy portion of the Fox River Trail. I would make a motion that we charge our park and rec director to develop appropriate procedures and firm up the cost estimates and in terms of plowing half or maybe slightly more than half of the Fox River Trail, and to run any policies and procedures past our legal counsel in terms of the immunities that may or may not apply. Might as well, we don't have a formal policy.
Correct, but I think we should also make sure that we discuss this with the other entities that are involved, including...
I was getting there.
Sorry.
I was getting there. So the motion is to charge our Parks and Rec director with to develop a policy for partial removal of the snow from the Fox River Trail, firm up the cost, consult with legal counsel concerning immunity, and to engage the other partners or our trail partners in terms of if they have any issues with what we're contemplating. So that's the motion. Trustee Harris?
Could I ask for a slight addition to that? Is the cost of partial clearing as well as cost of complete, so we understand the difference between the two?
Sure. That could be part of the, that'll be part of the motion. Well, I suspect it'd be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be for a limited 1-year time frame for the
Well, we're just putting together the information.
Right? Yeah, it's going to come back to the board because we need to have a policy to look at and say, yep, that makes sense, and to have legal counsel look at it and say that makes sense. You know, because I don't want to do anything without a formal policy in place. So that's going to be Chris's job to do that. Trustee Dark?
I would also like to have the person that Chris suggested that we talk to, so that we get more information on what we're doing, since he thinks...
Just to clarify, it's Matt Creasy, and he's the assistant director of Brown County Parks.
And you say he had more background in this sort of thing.
Correct.
Than I think that we should really get more information from him.
Yeah, the contemplated motion is that Chris would consult with him in the development of the policy to see if there's any issues, and I suspect Mr. Creasy would be willing to come and talk to the board when we take the policy up at a future board meeting and to answer any questions. Because I know we're going to have questions with respect to usage of that trail as an alternative accommodation, you know, under the DOT rules or the federal, you know, complete streets legislation. So, there a second to that motion? Trustee Rafter?
Yep.
Do you understand, Kurt?
Yes.
All right. The board understands what the motion is. All right. Motion made and seconded to refer these issues for further work by our Parks and Rec Director. Any discussion? Trustee Rafter?
I'd just like to know if we have an opportunity to really work at it quickly and see if maybe we, is it even feasible to try to plow them this winter?
Yeah, I would envision we could have a policy in place by January. It's not going to snow until February. So
yeah, it's a great season. It's a great year to try. It won't cost much.
We voted on that last meeting. It's not going to snow until February.
Okay.
All right, so we'll bring it back in January, and we probably can at least get a start on it this year. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion grant or motion passed. Then we're back to old number 5, the options for Riverside Drive design. They've been presented as the wide outside lane alternative, which means take land, and the non-wide outside lane alternative, which means don't take land and leave it basically the way it is, in terms of at least the footprint of the roadway. Is there a motion concerning this item? Trustee Rafter?
I would move that we reaffirm our earlier position to inform the DOT that we, as a village, are interested in the non-wide outside lane alternative, and to send letters to Representative Steffen, Senator Coles, and as this is also a federal issue, to Congressman Ribble and Senator Ron Johnson.
All right, that's the motion. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Green. Any further discussion on this issue? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
One nay, otherwise, motion carried. So now we are down to item 8, original item 8 on the agenda, request from the Brown County Community Women's Club to sell jewelry and accessories for a fundraiser at Green Isle Park on October 22, 2016. I appreciate the proactiveness of this group. I mean, since we're talking about October, and we're here in December, we're thinking ahead then. Is there a motion concerning this item? Trustee Rafter?
Yes.
You move to approve?
I move to approve.
All right, is there a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? Sounds like a good fundraiser, and we're asking them plenty of time, so. All right, hearing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The request is unanimously approved. Next item number 9, appointment of John Horn for the Historic Preservation Committee. I've had a chance to look at Mr. Horn's application, believe he would be well qualified for a position on the Historic Preservation Committee. I will so make the motion to appoint John Horn to the committee. Is there a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion concerning the appointment? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The appointment is made. Action regarding the Public Works minutes dated December 10, 2015. I guess we can take them separately. 10A is to approve the pickup truck purchase that was part of the approved budget that was recommended for approval by the Public Works Committee. Is there a motion concerning this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? It's a budgeted item. Mm-hmm. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The purchases are authorized. Approval to proceed with water utility operator hire. Recommended approval by the Public Works Committee. Is there a motion concerning this? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Atwood, is there any discussion?
Quick question.
Yes.
The person currently employed in that position is within the projected salary range now, or are we coming down a little bit from the current level?
This is an entry level. It is below the level that we're at right now. The reason for this is that going through the interview process and selecting a water foreman to replace Dave Sellison when he retires, it's Mike Mollick of staff that's going to be promoted to that position when Dave retires. The approach that we're taking here is we've had excellent individuals that we've hired over the last 2-3 years in various departments. We've just been able to find some super entry-level people or close to entry-level. We feel that hiring an entry-level person here, you know, with whatever we have here, 1 to 3 years of experience, would be a good fit long-term for the department. So that's the approach that we're taking. And, of course, salary and so forth fit that, so this is financially beneficial to us long term as well. So that's the approach. Hopefully we'll be able to find someone that is a really nice fit.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of authorizing the hire signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved. Item number C, recommended approval from Public Works to vacate a portion of River Lane, which has no real value to the village and to the owner, and they're amenable to paying for the costs of the vacation. Is there a motion concerning this? Trustee Green.
Move to vacate.
Is there a second? Trustee Rafter. Any discussion?
I was just going to say the owner to the property that we're vacating it to is going to pay all transfer costs, so this will not cost our residents anything. And it is this small little parcel that we're not using for anything. We have numerous of these throughout the village, so expect to see these again if we can get them transferred back on the tax rolls and be usable.
And they're going to clean it up.
Yeah, because Good luck
yeah.
with the buckhorn.
Yeah, and we run across these periodically when something comes up and it makes sense. And, you know, regrettably our staff is too overworked to devote a lot of time to looking for these crazy little situations. So we'll deal with them piecemeal when they come up.
Will it also change the assessed value of the property? So theoretically they'll be paying a few more dollars in property taxes mm-hmm. each year. So may not be a large dollar amount, but it actually increases the revenue to the village as well.
It does, and enhances the property.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not hearing anything bad about it. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion approved to vacate. Item number 11, action regarding sanitary sewer rate for 2016. Craig, your memo was very detailed. Do you want to give us a quick overview, or at least for the benefit of the public?
Really, the bottom line in this is we do need to increase the sanitary sewer rate for 2016. The primary driver is the cost increase from Green Bay Metro Sewerage District. If you recall, some meetings back, we talked about having a little more information that explains where the costs are and why the costs have gone up and what our benefits are. We didn't really have enough time to get into much in the way of benefits, but we are going to do something so that you've got more of a position paper that kind of shows what we've done and how we got to where we are and what we've accomplished and what the benefits are. In this, we did show a map, and you can see the sanitary sewer replacements, a fair number of projects over the last 10 years. I think the key point that I wanted to make in this handout was if you look at what we've done as a village to replace and repair sanitary sewers to reduce infiltration and inflow, which is part of our operating costs at Green Bay Met, our debt service has gone up about $200,000 since about 2005 for all of these projects that we've done. So that's really pretty reasonable when you look at everything that we've done. Green Bay Met costs, on the other hand, in the last 4 years have gone up $650,000. So two-thirds of the cost that we've incurred in the sanitary utility over the last 5-6 years is Green Bay Metro treatment costs. One-third is everything that we've done to improve our system within the village. I thought that was kind of a key point to understand that even though we've done a lot, it's only a smaller part of the total because of all the costs that Green Bay Met. Now, looking forward to 2017, this rate that we have, when we see it, we'll see a rate increase next year for Green Bay Met, but it should be in the neighborhood of around 2% because the big project is done. So now it's cost of doing business increases for us and for Green Bay Met. So next year, in 2016, we're only going to have a slight income, but in 2017, some of our debt services paid off. We'll have a more significant income in 2017 without adjusting any rates. So that's kind of where we're at. We're kind of juggling this to try to keep the rate increase reasonable, but we are talking about $2. Unfortunately, that's what it is. And all the metro communities are faced with the same thing. So this is, we're all going to have this same rate increase.
It is it's reality, but it's a sad state of reality. You know? I mean, when the Met charges go up by 52.8% in over the course of 4 years, you know, and we pay more for water every year, and we pass that on. But I think at least we can, I think, be contented in the fact that the village itself, I mean, to the extent that we can control those increases, has done a pretty good job. If it was just us we had to worry about, we'd be fine.
Yes.
You know, but when we got to deal with increases in water and increases in sewage rates, and I mean, how much was that project Green Bay Met did? What was the total of the R2E2 thing?
It's a total of $168 million.
Yeah. They just went through a whole capital campaign for that kind of money, so all the users in the system wind up paying for it over time. So
it should also be noted, Mr. President, that they had a inadequate system of checks and balances in regards to accounting for the monies which were initially to be set aside in the amount of about $2 million for the R2D2 program, which were taken from that program and placed into the general fund to cover shortfalls for inadequate accounting practices within the Department of sewage district, and that also contributed to the need to be able to increase funds and go out for fundraising purposes and change our rates.
Well, I think, you know, the village as well should be very proud of our public works director. He was a big thorn in their side. They didn't like him when Craig would show up at meetings. Because you took the laboring oar for a lot of the other public works directors and pressed them and made them analyze and give information to them. And before Craig started doing that was about 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. Not more.
Before that, nobody spoke up at the meetings. Nobody even attended.
So the village has done a good job for ourselves and the neighboring municipalities by our public works director being vigilant on this issue and have saved, you know, quite a bit of the money. It'd be worse if Craig hadn't gotten involved. And now that I think that they know that everybody's a little more proactive with them, they're a little bit more reasonable. And they crunch their numbers a little bit better than they used to. So, well, I'll entertain a motion to approve the rate increase. I mean, otherwise we run at $134,000 deficit. And if we pass the rate increase, which we don't like to do, we make about $12,000. So we need a little, you know, a little positive, and that's a little. That's better than running $134,000 in the red. So, Trustee Rafter.
I'll move to approve the rate increase.
There's a second. I'll make the second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The rate increase is approved. Motion to adjourn, Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Dennis. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned.